What have you done that's generous?
Everything. Everything that you wanted, I have done. You asked that the child be taken. I took him. You cowered before me. I was frightening. I have reordered time. I have turned the world upside down. And I have done it all for you. I am exhausted from living up to your expectations. Isn't that generous?
Through dangers untold and hardships unnumbered, I have fought my way here to the castle beyond the Goblin City. For my will is as strong as yours, and my
Stop.
Hey, no, no.
Time it was and the lights were low. I leaned back on my radio. Some cat was laying down some Get It On Rock and Roll, he said.
Anyways, and welcome to the Name of the Podcast. This is Andrew.
I'm going to come off Twitter now because the whole of the internet is going to annihilate me.
Don't like timeless classics. Oh, internet. Insert internet comments here. Oh, right, I'm Damien.
And this is Douglas. Douglas was just kind of sitting there like, can I go now?
Shit,
you have to wait on him. No time.
There's another Pixies album, Surfer Rosa. God damn it.
And if you want this to make sense, just go ahead and find the SoundCloud thing I put up.
I got really angry, guys. Sorry.
We're this week, Douglas has decided that we're all going to sit down and talk about Kung Fu movies made by Wong Kar-wai, and that being the film entitled The Grandmaster. And I guess we should put in asterisk Chinese cut.
Yes, and apparently, there's an American cut coming out. The Weinsteins bought it,
where they cut like half an hour out of the movie.
I think what's a funny thing about this movie is about halfway through the movie, Andrew tells me, "Oh, by the way, the guy that directed this movie directed Fallen Angels, which I also asked us to watch once on this podcast.
And Damon asked us to watch 2046, which he directed.
You asked us to
watch
2046.
I didn't.
You did?
Yeah,
you're the one I need to punch in the face.
Yeah.
Okay. I could have sworn it was you, Andrew. I apologize for putting that
People
on
said, 2046 is incredible.
Have you seen In the Mood for Love?
Yeah.
Okay. You like that one?
We're going to move on.
Okay. This is going to be fun. Anyways, Douglas, this is the film that you chose to watch to talk about. So why don't you tell us what this movie is about?
I think that Damien puts it perfectly when he says it's Hong Kong. No.
Hong Kong Fui.
Hong Kong Fui kick. This is a movie about, clearly, a grandmaster. Apparently, Andrew... Andrew tells me that this is... I'm sure it's over exaggerated, but it is one of a few films about a specific man, and this man is someone who supposedly taught Jet Li everything he knows, or this is what Andrew is telling me, so I just have to at least
put that up front
because Andrew isn't good with the history.
To Wikipedia. He did research.
He didn't actually do any research.
I did lots of research.
He looked at Wikipedia.
Fair enough.
Wikipedia has never been wrong.
Fair enough. But this movie plays very much like a biopic of this man's life. Who is, I guess, what's the word? Affectionately known by many as Ip Man. It kind of goes through not just his life, but sort of the progression of and westernization of China. It kind of touches on a lot of topics. But really and truly, at the heart of it is Ip Man and really his love for kung fu and ladies who do kung fu.
I like ladies who do kung
fu. Yes, you do. So I don't really want to get too much into my likes and dislikes yet, but Andrew, I want to hear what you thought about this.
Damn it, I wanted Damien to go first and get all of his anger,
just no anger,
into the room.
Mm-mm. There's kung fu in this.
See, I know how Damien's mind works. Yeah. The funny thing is, my mind works exactly the same for this movie. So, Andrew, you are the one that needs to go first.
Yeah. You're the one that is showing this movie praise.
With amazing adoration.
This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
It is the greatest beauty.
Holy shit.
It's a movie I look forward to watching. This movie, as Douglas mentioned,
mm-hmm.
about Ip Man, and unlike all the other Ip Man movies, which I have not seen, and I hypothesize
right.
are movies which are straight up action movies, right? Which are basically...
This is the best thing, man. Unlike the other movies that I haven't seen.
You know what I love about that, Damien? You know what I love about that, Damien? Douglas was in the room and you had to pull back for him.
Douglas was busy on this one. I realized Douglas didn't hear because there's no way Douglas would have let that pass.
I'm sculpting my pitch for your movie, Andrew, so calm down.
But that statement is beautiful.
Now I feel bad for anything I was about to say. All right, you can tell me if I'm wrong. All right, because you've seen these movies, I assume.
Yes.
Right, these movies seem to me as like the general kung fu action movie that you would normally see. The Jet Li movies from the 90s, the Jackie Chan movies from the 80s, and so on and so forth. That just kind of keep it in the story of we're defeating a bad guy right now, and we move on, and it's done, and it's gone. Right. Right. So those movies all have their own idea, and it mainly remains in the world of action movie making, right? This movie kind of deals with martial arts in a completely different sense. While it still has all of the action scenes that you'd love it to have, it kind of, I feel, preys a lot more on the motion that martial arts went through in that time for China. As we start out in the 30s, which is probably the latest time that people were like Ip Man, who were like, okay, I can be a kung fu master, and I am just that. And my life is you come and you challenge me, I practice every day, and I kick ass left, right, and center. To the Japanese War, to eventually Hong Kong, and as Douglas mentioned, the westernization of China, and when he had to go and become a teacher, as opposed to just being kung fu, as we find out in a lot of the narration throughout this movie. And I see this through a lot of Wong Kar-wai films that I watch, where he likes to show change over time, and it is so fascinating to me, because when you realize that this is a real thing, like when we watch Black Mask, well, that's probably a bad example, or Fist of Legend, or even Drunken Master, right? And we see all of these old times in China with people just being like, I know Kung Fu, and we like to see all the ridiculousness of it. There actually was a realness to that, and...
No, there was.
and to see how that changed over even... something close to our lifetime, right?
Pretty sure the Chinese invented gunpowder. I think all of that is just the mask, the fact that they were ruthless killers for a long, long time. These guys are honor. Don't just try not to think about how China became China. Don't worry about that. We dealt with honor and kung fu. That is how with monks in the forest. And ball heads and chi.
Like, I mean, when you
not gunpowder and large ships.
When you watch shit like 36 Chambers of Shaolin, you kind of get the idea of how crazy these films are. But
I like crazy.
I know you do. This movie feels like so such a weirder version of that. When they decide to focus on one man and his progression through this time, I'm kind of just going over. But I think what kind of caught me with this movie kind of is when it actually made that shift for the first time, right? Because for the first around half an hour to around 40 minutes, you're in the 1930s and you're with him as he's about to make this challenge to the northern master who is going to retire. And it at that point, it's pretty much a straightforward kung fu movie, right? It's someone has come, he has challenged him, and he must stand up to the challenge.
He must kung fu his way to victory.
And then when that is over, and it kind of allows time to move forward for the first time, I had to make a conscious decision at that point to be either angry at the movie for not being the stereotypical kung fu movie, or to embrace how it was pushing me forward. And I embraced it. I don't know how you guys felt at that point.
Bad decisions.
And I think it was for the better. Damien, how do you feel?
Andrew, you know exactly how I feel. Right? They started this movie. Right? Cold open. People are getting the shit kicked out of them. No credits. Rain falling. People getting murdered. Yeah. Alright. This is dumb. There's a lot of slow-mo and fake rain effects. I'm on board. Please keep kicking people 900 feet in the air.
Horizontal.
Alright, fine. What is happening in this movie? Nobody cares. Kung Fu time. And then they're like, oh, here's this man. And he has a wife. And he has children. And his wife gives him the worst baths in history. No one bathes like that. You don't owe me a shirt and have someone rub a sponge on you. No, you submerge yourself in water. And you need soap. The key thing is soap.
Just outside fighting in the rain. Sure. What are you talking about?
And then he goes to a whorehouse to challenge a grandmaster, because of course he would. Why wouldn't you? And there's more fighting. And then there is the staple of all quality kung fu films. I want you to take a thing out of the palm of my hand to show how good both you and I are. And they did that. And I went, alright, kung fu movie, good stuff. And then there was a freeze frame black and white picture, and it's like, this was the winter of my life. Which I enjoyed, because there's another movie, Spring, Summer, Autumn, Fall, and Spring. And I went, if that is what this movie is, but with kung fu, I am so on board, it is ridiculous. And then they said, alright, what if though, instead of what we gave you for the first 40 minutes or so, what if we stop doing that? Like, we're going to keep up this kung fu charade, just to kind of string you along. Right, we're going to keep kung fu there, so that you see kung fu and you know it's there. And we'll promise more kung fu. But that's not really what we're about. We're going to tell you this story about these two people and how they should have come together, but then their lives diverge. And then how the war pushed them onto separate paths. And how this one fool became the Grandmaster. And then I sat there for another hour and 20 minutes, because this movie is about 2 hours. Something like that. And saw three more fights. There's a fight at a train place. It's pretty awesome.
Train station?
Whatever. Place what? The train house.
The train area. The train general area.
Right. When the train leaves home, they go to the train house or whatever that thing is. We don't have them here in Jamaica. And even though there was hefty use of CG in this movie, it was put to good use. I like watching people fight, and I like watching people use fake kung fu to do incredible things. And they had that. But they didn't have enough of it, which is why when I came here and they said, oh, they're taking 30 minutes out of this, I went, aha, the Weinstein's watched this and went, how about we cut out all the talking bits and focus on the kung fu part, and we put that out in America so that dumb Americans and Damien can actually enjoy this.
And you look forward to that movie.
He said, yeah, alright, fine. So that, I am going to give that version of the movie a higher grade than this one. Having not seen it, if they do what I think they're going to do, I'd give that a 4 out of 4. Yeah, I'd give that 4 stars. Yeah. All kung fu, no talking, I'll take that. But this, though, like, they gave me a solid amount of kung fu.
Right. So you can't be angry.
That is a 3. But then after dock points, because halfway through the movie, they took back most of the kung fu from me. But I won't dock a whole point. Because I'd watch this again if I see this movie. Like, okay, there's a lot of kung fu in this. It's pretty dumb. There's a lot of slow-mo of people's feet moving in snow and water and dirt. And that is real dumb. And I like it. And there's grown men dancing over a piece of bread. Also real dumb. Like that too. And then there's guards fighting a man. The guards have knives. This guy has nothing. And he still wins. Because the guards refuse to accept that this man is the greatest.
And then they're barbers at one point.
Right. Alright. So when I focus on the kung fu,
I'm happy. When you focus on the...
When I remember that it was not solely kung fu, and right.
When someone tells you, what happened during the war part?
She's like, oh yeah. Right. There's talking. Absolutely no... Like, who cares? It's not even a good enough story that you can go, alright. Alright, story. Fine, I can understand. No. A lot of it. Like, the jump around time for... Absolutely no. Like, he should have had the confidence to go. We understand, we know that the audience understand how time works. So let's just tell this straightforward. This jumping back and forth, it's not really necessary. We could have told this shit linear and put in more kung fu and more people would have liked it. But there's enough kung fu that it outweighs the lack of kung fu. So this movie is like a 3.
Do you like, other than this, other than your decision on how to like this movie, do you like any specific Wong Kar-wai film?
This? I like this.
Nothing else?
Like, this movie is like a merger of artsy-fartsy cinematography with dumb kung fu. So there's a lot of things that you go, oh... He thinks he's making a different movie than the movie is actually making. And it was pulled off successfully, I think, in Hero. Because Hero had a lot of that. Man playing one string instrument with rain falling slowly. A sword breaks water in slow motion. You go, you guys have forgotten what you're... And then by the end of the movie you go, you guys knew what you were making. You guys went, we can make this artsy while making it even more dumb. And I went, yep, that is what I want. You guys took the Crouching Tiger template and went, what if we just told no story and just made this real artsy and real dumb? And they did it. It was magical to watch. And they did it with this. And, you know, when I think about just how much dumb shit they filmed in order to get some of these shots. Like, when you think about the, you know, the amount of time and the amount of camera work that went into these stupid shots, you know, I like that. But then they filled it with talking in the second half and I did not like that at all. Wong Kar-wai, he makes boring movies.
Okay.
I don't like...
I was just curious if you specifically liked any of his movies other than... Your kung fu version in your head.
Hong
Kong fu. Will this movie get a Damien cut?
Of course it will. I fail to come up with a movie that kung fu
wouldn't
help.
I imagine that
the
Damien cut would be very close to the Weinstein cut.
Yeah.
So you're saying the Weinstein's might have done your work for you.
Right. Yeah. I went, hey, we can't fix this. Don't worry. We'll put this out for you. We just need to cut out just a thing here and there. Like all of this.
All of a sudden, the movie's like an hour long.
Have you seen this awesome kung fu? There's like no dialogue. Just all kung fu. It's amazing. That's what I want.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with both of y'all. Andrew, I enjoyed this movie. Damian, this movie is not good. Alright, now listen. I think I can pretty much echo about everything that Damian said a while ago. Right? The Kung Fu really, I don't want to say it brings everything together, because there's nothing, there's no togetherness about this movie. But it allowed me to last the 2.5 hours that this movie was. Alright? But Andrew, this movie, and I know that you vetoed my top five list, but the title of that top five list is exactly what this movie is. It's awesomely incoherent, right? Essentially, what happens is they're like, "All right, I know what you guys want.
Yeah.
You want fighting, so here you go." And then they're like, "All right, here's what I want to do." Right. And just when you're about to punch the TV in the face, they're like, "Okay,
wait, hold on, there you go."
Right? So because
look. Shiny object.
Like, yay! They're like, wait, the shiny object.
And you just sit there waiting. You shiny objects a while ago. And then as soon as they're like, they're not going to give me any more, are they? Like,
no.
Oh, more shiny!
Andrew, this movie makes absolutely no sense. No, let me just take a few examples. First of all, there is a scene one starts the movie.
Yes.
Right? Where... All right, now
hold on.
You tell me if I am wrong, right? Because I'm not sure if maybe I have a problem sometimes with understanding things. So maybe I just never understood it, right? But here is what I took from that first scene.
Right.
It seemed as if there was some sort of, I don't know, gangster squad, and they were like having tryouts, and they were saying, okay, whoever is standing, you get to be in our gangster squad.
Right.
And then there was a fight, and then there was a boss.
Right.
And then
the boss got murked. Right.
And then that had absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
He went home and took a shower. What in God's name is happening?
All right. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that is the first. That's. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the first scene in the movie.
Right? So you're like, oh, this relates to something else.
Exactly.
No.
And it just never comes back. Then, you know, simple things.
What kind of grandmaster retires? It's not a retirement job.
Well, no. I'll give him that. Whatever. You know, let's say he's tired of dancing with people who try to cut his cake in half.
Yeah.
All right? Let's say, you know, he doesn't want to do that anymore.
That might get tired.
Exactly.
It
gets annoying. Okay,
yeah.
After
especially when you have to wax philosophical before take breaking bread with him.
One day he just gets up out of his chair with a cake in his hand, and someone just
how
starts
did
dancing
you even
with him
come
and he
to
just
this?
Is angry.
Who came up with this? This is a dumb plan, guys. There's better ways to find out if someone's good at Kung Fu.
Exactly. Now, is it just me? Another thing. I think I understand this, but hold on. Right? So, I know that there are certain strings that people like to pull. Right, when they make movies, right? One of those strings have to do with, like, you know, love and potentially getting together with
ladies. Sexual tension.
Not even sexual tension. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that, you know, two people realize that, you know, they like each other and events may pull them apart, but, you know, you hope that they will get together at one point. And this movie definitely has that thread, right? Ah, that's the thing. Now, if I think to myself, how would I describe this movie to somebody? I would probably say it's a Kung Fu movie about a grandmaster who, and there's this, you know, this thread throughout the movie of this love story. Because I think those are the three most sensible, no, let me put it a different way. Those are the three threads that make the most sense to me. And kind of everything else is like a ball of yarn after a cat has played with it. Right? So, but if you think about it, that love thread, that angle that they had, they didn't really pay it much attention, did they?
I think what he was in love with was the 64 palm tent.
No, but even that, even the 64 palms.
Our hands are...
Can we please...
Mm-hmm.
Right now, let's have a moment of silence in the podcast. Please go back through your mind and count how many scenes out of the movie, how many minutes out of the 2 hours and a half or whatever it is, that there was actually, you know, any sort of, I wouldn't say mention, but any reliance on this thread. Let's think about this for a moment.
Zero times.
Exactly. I mean, I want to say this is a love story, but it's not, because it's only, it only lasts for about 2 minutes.
They dance for 2 minutes, and then they walk down a road for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he talked to her henchman, Shining Star, Lucky Star, whatever his name is, for about 2 minutes, and he explained why this love that clearly nobody cares about will never actually come to fruition. Oh, and by the way, he's married. And I like how...
That just goes away.
I like how it is, the war started, and he lost everything, and then there's... The losing of everything isn't important to the telling of this
story.
No,
but what's fantastic, right?
He just lost things.
He lost everything, mm-hmm. right? They specifically say he lost everything. He lost two of his children,
yeah,
right? And then, at the end of the movie, you realize, hold on. His wife didn't die until like 1960.
Yeah, his wife was like there.
Right? So...
And he just went...
He was just like, you know what? I don't need a wife anymore.
I bought a coat.
Because I lost everything.
I bought a coat for this bitch that I think I love. Because we danced that one time. I like the flashback, like 3 minutes after the actual fight. So them, guys, I remember that. That fight was like 2 seconds ago. But I didn't come to this movie for...
No,
for
I agree.
I didn't come
for
this movie
for
logic.
But Damien.
I did not come for this movie.
There's one last thing that
stories.
I wanted. There's one last thing I wanted.
Or
mention.
For your nitpicks.
There's one last thing I want to mention. Mm-hmm. Right? So... There's this guy in the movie called The Razor.
Right? I was hoping you knew that, bro.
And he's made at one point in the movie to appear significant. Right?
They talk about him.
And, you know, they put words on the screen about him, which usually doesn't happen unless you are some sort of supporting role. And again, you know, he is saved by a main character at one point, and you think to yourself, oh, this person met him. Mm-hmm. So they actually say this person met the Razor at X date,
right.
Which implies at X plus Y,
yeah.
at some day afterwards,
yeah.
something else will
Razor
happen.
Is going to come back.
Absolutely
and save the day.
Nothing happens there. Razor, all of a sudden, I think you get two more scenes with him, like two more half second scenes, where one, he's like a barber, and two, I think he punches somebody in the face and then takes them as a disciple. That's it. Right? Like, and that's my problem with this movie. A lot of this movie is like that. It's like, hey guys, here is what is significant. Here is some information that finally you can latch onto and say, this is going to be at least a big part of the story going forward, or a thread that you can follow.
So
and then it just cuts it right,
saying,
right
at no,
the nips
there's
it
not
at the
really
bottom.
A story arc.
There is no story arc,
like
really.
A wire that like dips and crashes at certain points.
And that upsets me. And the more I think about it, is the more I want to hate this movie, but I really can't, because the fighting did be good.
Yeah, there's,
okay.
There be kung fu in a lot of kung fu in this movie. I kind of put out of my mind a lot of the talking. The talking is where this movie falls down for me.
Yep.
But there's a lot of... Like, guys... If you've ever watched the Ong Bak movie, please watch Grandmaster. It's just that simple. If you thought, oh, I should watch this Ong Bak movie because this guy's terrible at acting, but at some point he's going to kick someone in the face and run up on glass. You're like, alright, I'll ignore all of that and watch him fight people. Then this is one of those. Except there's more fighting in this until like the second half. And you just hit fast forward until you see fights.
Yeah. That's a good rule.
Yeah. Andrew doesn't like the fact that we're discounting the part of the movie that he likes the most.
Yep.
He thinks there's a story here somewhere. And we're relegating the story to talking. And to essentially disturbances of the kung fu.
I hate all. I just, hate you all.
I just
don't
like abuse.
I've just been sitting here while you guys have been going off, and I've been like, how do I touch this? I don't think I can. I think I'm gonna move on.
There was, what's the name of that? Like 16 warriors or something. So,
oh, no.
13 assassins.
13 assassins.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that movie was bad.
Right. And so, remember that movie? Like,
I loved.
Right. For like an hour, that movie. I'm like, what is happening? Then, they lit a bull on fire and then fought for like an hour. And I went, this movie is incredible. That is what this movie is. Right? Every time I think about 13 assassins, I remember the guy killing himself at the start. I remember, at least I think I remember 14 hours of people walking, right? And then I remember a bull being lit on fire, and like every single second of the action is in that movie. Yeah, so when I think about it, I'm like, that movie is incredible because there's non-stop fighting. And then when I watch it again, I'm like, wait, there's a lot of talking and them setting up this bad guy as essentially Satan. And then there's just walking and then kung fu. I'm like, all that is important, guys. It's the kung fu bit. Like, if you're going to put kung fu in the movie, just accept that you can't tell a real story around it. Not unless you're Korean. And even they find it problematic a lot of the time. Right? They wrap the kung fu in revenge. And a lot of the time you sit there, you go, you guys have gone through a lot of trouble just to squeeze in some revenge in this kung fu. Yes. I appreciate it, but you could have just given me the kung fu. I'd have accepted that. And I'm sorry that we are actively mocking the part of the movie that you love. We're not trying to hurt. It's just reality. If you put kung fu in the movie, that is the part I'm going to focus on. Like, if you put it in the trailer, that is what every superhero movie, that is what I come for.
The kung fu.
That is right. The kung fu. The last Superman movie. Holy shit.
You watched the kung fu.
Holy shit. When they land and he becomes Superman and they destroy Smallville, this is incredible. Look at all of the kung fu in that.
Anyways.
Unbelievable.
Let's roll past that.
So, this last week, I got Douglas to watch another Asian film by the name of Princess Mononoke for the very first time.
Did you like live in a rock? Like, who? Douglas, you... I'm starting to think that you don't actually watch movies.
the further
we go down this road, it is the more I realize that things that are just assumed Douglas would have seen. Right? I assumed that Douglas had this vast wealth of movie knowledge.
And you kept saying that he was a bad brother to me.
Exactly. And I kept blaming you for raising Andrew like this. Andrew turned out the way he did.
Andrew likes non-kung fu bits because
But the more and more we go, I realize that no, Andrew didn't have a guiding light. He had a Douglas shambling in the darkness.
So, yeah. So Douglas, what did you think of Princess Mononoke?
You mean Nashka Part 2?
Kagetai. You don't know how many times I've thought that and wanted to say that. But understand that the like, there's times I'm afraid of the internet.
But that's exactly what this movie is.
And I know that. And most people know that. But the mere fact that Andrew is going to put this on the internet mean that maybe you won't see the comments. He's certainly going to see. There's been few times I've been reading movie things and saw people actively trying to murder other people on, like, through the internet. Not just trying to hurt feelings. Not just, oh, you're gay. No. Like, planning to buy weapon artillery in order to murder people. And whenever those movies come up, I know,
always.
You know what? I don't even have feelings about these movies anymore. I know, but I'm not going to have anybody come kill me. Studio Ghibli, you don't, like, even if they make terrible movies, you can't say that. You can't. Nowhere. You cannot. Not even as a joke. And I saw Princess Mononoke. I was wondering, look, I saw it actually after I saw Nausicaa. Because there was a time Sci-Fi was actually a good network.
Yes.
And
yes,
I used to bring
those kind of things.
And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I saw Nausicaa. I thought it was incredible. And then I think Disney at some point was putting out Mononoke. And I saw that. And I went, oh! And I said at the time, oh, it's like that. And then by the time I grew up and got on the internet and wanted to say, oh, it's like that, I knew now. Can't say that because I'll be dead. It's like those two and Akira. Like, if you want people to hate you forever, just go on. It doesn't have to be an internet forum about, just go on a YouTube video for something completely unrelated. There's like Google alerts. If you type Akira is bad anywhere on the internet, they'll find you.
Well, let's see how this goes, because guess who has two thumbs and hates Akira? This guy. I do not like Akira at all.
I saw Akira at the right time.
Maybe
so
that's it. Maybe
it
I
is,
just didn't see it at
it
the
is
right time.
Burned into my.
Yeah.
They
saw
had,
it when I was older.
They had awesome bikes.
That is true.
They had incredible animation.
Yeah. And they had a big monster what got
right.
killed.
And I remember when I saw it older, because I remember it having this great story, and I saw it when I was older, I went, oh no, this is like Macross level nonsense. This is just big shit. Japanese lunacy. It's like the Metal Gear of...
Yep.
But I had learned that... What am I going to say that to?
Anyway, I have a question for you. Do you like Mononoke?
Of course.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
It's
you're making it sound like you don't.
No, no, no,
I
no,
also,
no.
Wait, anyway, I also like Mononoke.
Nausicaa 2 means it is incredible. Nausicaa
exactly.
is
yeah.
phenomenal. So if you make a part 2, the hope is that it would be as good, if not better.
Exactly.
It's not better.
No, it's not better.
It's really good.
But it's good. Yeah, yeah. Like that movie.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like the whole thing.
Oh yeah, the arm
is,
and it
good.
Wants to do violence.
Oh,
and, oh yeah,
so
that's pretty cool.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
How in God's name did you not see that movie though?
I've
that's
seen
so
I've seen tiny pieces of it, but not the whole movie. Yeah.
You talking about?
I keep saying that, don't I? I should have.
I've seen pieces of Miller's Crossing.
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, that's even worse. I understand.
Does it make you feel any better that I actually own Miller's Crossing?
No. Not really. I came here and went, well, Andrew doesn't know, but Andrew is trying to catch up. Douglas knows. To the point where he's already looked past good movies and started liking shit like Bubba Hotep. Like, I'm beyond that.
Bubba.
And I only like weird foreign movies that three people have seen. I'm so past your typical American British films that everyone has seen. I'm beyond that. And then the further we go, it's just no. Nope.
And Andrew's still learning.
Giant hose. Giant hose. Like, oh, it wasn't. It's not Douglas's fault after all. He didn't know any better.
I don't know any better.
No, yeah, and it's.
I saw Cobra though.
It's really sad. Yeah, and you don't like it because you're a terrible person. You're probably annoyed that the story in that movie is terrible, aren't you?
Yeah. There's not enough kung fu in that movie.
You saw that and went, this story is dumb. And I look at you and I go, yeah. And that is what is beautiful about it.
Alright, would you describe Cobra as something similar to the Predator?
Right. In the 80s, there were two ways to make action movies. There are people who took it so very seriously that it came out on the other side as magic. Right? Because apparently in the 80s they didn't understand that nothing that they wrote made sense. So it is people who fervently believe that the script they have written and the actors that they have casted are just beautifully worked together, right? And those, right, so they come out on the other side as magic, or they come out as like Delta Force, which is just garbage. And so you get a couple of them that when you watch Cobra, you see that they wanted to make this cop so badass. That was the aim. We need to make this 120-pound man be the most dangerous policeman of all time. And so they wrote that story, and you just watch it and you go, this is the most ridiculous shit ever. It's like True Lies. Oh, right? That is what it is. It's like, when you think of True Lies, you go, nothing that is happening on this screen.
You want to know the big difference between True Lies and Cobra?
No, True Lies is in the 90s. In the 90s, they understood sarcasm. The 80s, they didn't know. Right. In the 90s, they went, this is also going to be funny. Yeah, this is so ridiculous that people find this funny. In the 80s, they didn't have that. Sarcasm didn't exist. So they just wrote things. Like, Andrew, why are all the new Predator movies terrible? It's because they're trying to write Predator in modern day, but capture the 80s feel, but they can't. Because the second Predator comes on the screen, you're just going to go, this movie is the stupidest thing. There's no way to capture that. The 80s were magic for that reason. Even their dumb romantic comedy movies. Like, you saw where, like, no one did the takes and were laughing at the end of the takes, right? It's not like Sex Drive, where you could see. You see when they made it, they're like, oh God. You guys, they're never going to release this.
Why do I like that movie so much,
David? Oh, Douglas. You can feel them laughing with you through the movie. In the 80s, no. Like, even though they might have thought it was funny, no one was laughing when they made it. 80s were a bad time for a lot of things.
When David Bowie was awesome.
But they gave me Rambo. And Predator.
Alright guys, internet, if you could only see Andrew's face.
It's the questions, boy, it's the questions. It's the questions, come on, the questions. It's the questions, boy, it's the questions. It's the questions, yeah, the questions. It's the questions, y'all, it's the questions. It's the questions, dig it, the questions. It's the questions, boy, it's the questions. So, yeah,
what is last time I'd asked people, due to the release of the Wes Anderson short with Jason Schwartzman.
Still haven't seen.
Castello Cavalcanti. I was asking people about their favorite director-actor combinations. And I wanted to limit it because I didn't want there to be any easy answers.
Bruce Willis and Die Hard directors.
and I said that the combination you give me has to have at least 5 films together. Mm-hmm. Right? And the internet has responded.
Of course they did.
I got a response from @Sinister and as well from Tim Joseph, both nominating Scorsese and DiCaprio. together, who I thought about them, I guess it counts as five because Wolf of Wall Street comes out this month, so that is their fifth together. I still need to revisit the Aviator.
Isn't the cap?
You don't have to.
What? I don't want to actually ask that question.
What?
Nothing.
Because, I mean, together they have what? The Gangs of New York, mm-hmm. Aviator, Departed,
and
Shutter Island, and Wolf of Wall Street. No, yeah. I actually rewatched Shutter Island last night for the first time since The Theater. I love that movie.
So fucking good.
It's just so weird how good that movie is.
Incredible. Like when that movie ended, I started watching it again. I went, there's so many clues right at the start of the movie. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Doug Tilly from over at the Above the Line podcast brought up David de Cocteau and Eric Roberts. David de Cocteau is a director from the 60s,
mm-hmm.
who, actually, 60s and beyond, who has made, from 1985, I have the wrong person in my head. Wow. Who has made 111 films to date, including.
Job done.
David de Cocteau, who, including Creepazoids, Puppet Master 3, The Brotherhood. I don't think I've seen any of his movies, but great job, Dave.
He's made quality
great
films.
Great job, Doug.
Wow.
Amir Solitano brings up Woody Allen. And Woody Allen.
Because
who shows up in more Woody Allen movies than Woody Allen? I don't know.
Then what about Tarantino and Tarantino?
No one brought that one up. Actually, I don't think Tarantino has five
pretty
of himself.
Pretty sure he has five of himself.
He was
pretty
in
sure.
Death Proof.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Inglourious Basterds.
In
he was in Pulp Fiction.
He was
in Reservoir Dogs.
And he was in The Django.
He was in The Django. Okay, so he has five of them. I thought there was one or two where he left himself out. I know he wasn't in Jackie Brown.
No.
And I can't remember. Yeah.
At least he probably was some homeless person at the side of the road.
And we just don't know. What's this other one up here? Andrew Kendall brings up George Cukor and Katharine Hepburn.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
Shane McNeil at Comeback Shane brings up the Coen brothers and John Goodman.
Sweet.
All right.
Reminding me that Steven Soderbergh sucks as well.
Good job, sir.
His brother, Ryan McNeil at Matinee, says it's a layup, guys. Steven Soderbergh and George Clooney. So,
they wouldn't be my favorites.
Because they've had a good amount together. Alex Kittle at Film Forager brings up Hal Hartley and Martin Donovan, also nominating Nicole Holofcener and Catherine Keener. I don't know Nicole Holofcener. You guys?
I know Catherine Keener. Yeah. That's about as much as I know on that list.
I know one of those names.
Oh, she's the director of Friends with Money.
Ah.
And Please Give.
Okay.
Which Catherine Keener are in both of
those.
I enjoyed both of those movies.
I did not watch any of those.
I saw Please Give and Friends with Money.
Yeah.
Friends with Money is the one with Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
It was the thing that went, oh, she is not only in terrible movies. And then she proved me wrong.
So moving on to the question for the next week, I was kind of curious, with everyone kind of falling in love with Disney's Frozen, which I'm really looking forward to seeing, I want to know what people's favorite Disney animation film they've seen. So not counting any of Pixar. Pixar doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, we have to also take Lion King out of the mix.
Right. Yeah, because that is... It is not even... Like, it's
Lion
not even
King
close.
Counts.
It's just not
no.
fair, though.
Yeah. You can't put Lion King in.
Oh, so
it is the best.
We're taking that out of the box just for the sake of it.
Lion King is the best.
All right.
It's not even close.
Sans Lion King, what's
right.
your favorite Disney animation
right.
film to date?
Aladdin comes close.
It's like... the ones in the 50s that were terrible, and then like Peter Pan is awful, and Bambi is also terrible. And then they started to hit their stride. They started to make quality movies. And then Aladdin was a real high mark. They had Beauty and the Beast
around the same
that
time.
Same time.
Yeah. They had Hunchback and Notre Dame.
Right. And then, no, that it was, I think it was
I'm not
Aladdin.
Saying that was great. I'm
right.
saying
no,
that
no,
was
no.
around the same time.
I think
time.
It was Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast. And then they hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
tore off the yep. ceiling with Lion King. And then there's been a slow descent back down into nonsense. I remember they put up Princess and the Frog and they're like, we're back! And everyone watched it and went, no, you're not. It's a good attempt. It's not as terrible as, what was that shitty horse one, Spirit or something? No, not Tangled. You're,
I know.
They put out a
oh, yeah,
horse
I remember
one.
What you're talking about.
Right.
The one where they were like Native Americans
yeah.
or something.
Some awful, just utter rubbish they put out. And like, oh, this is good.
You know what those people used to love? Pocahontas.
Yeah,
what
people used to.
I used to love Pocahontas.
No.
I saw that again like a year ago. That movie's
the
horrible.
One that I thought was always underrated was their Tarzan. Because he was surfing on the trees
no.
and the guy died. It was fun.
Even I was too old for that.
What I remember, like probably for me, that was for you, Hercules.
Yeah, Hercules,
like,
oh,
Hercules
yeah,
came out.
I
was
like
really happy
Hercules.
With that movie.
Yeah.
There was the one Emperor's New Groove with love. Oh, quality stuff.
Is that the one with Spain? I think like Kevin Kline and they go into the gold the Aztec gold
no that
village?
Was the one where they
no?
turned the prince into a llama.
Oh okay yeah, yeah.
Right. And the
I
one that you're
that
thinking
one.
About is I think it's Atlantis. I think
no Atlantis is something different. That's when you go under the water. I'm talking about Aztec
no,
gold.
Right.
Eldorado.
Route to Eldorado.
Yes.
Nicholas
yes.
had that on cassette.
Yes.
Sad. Dark times.
Cassettes.
Alright. So I guess the real question is Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast.
Well, Little Mermaid?
No.
No.
And I'd take Beauty and the Beast because I prefer the music in that one. To Aladdin.
Okay.
And that's the reason I did that.
Andrew?
It's a simpler story as well. There's no goddamn genius trying to crack jokes.
Aladdin.
Alright. I have an even better movie than you, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Forget Aladdin. My favorite Disney movie is probably Aladdin. And just to explain
oh,
the story,
so this is the Finding Nemo.
Yep.
Yes.
I forgot as much.
So I have a young cousin who loves Aladdin to death.
I'm sorry,
because of course we myself and Andrew made her watch Aladdin when she was.
You have to
just
get them when
a
early.
Twinkle in her mother's
so
eye.
She doesn't think
right?
that Dora is actually good.
Exactly.
She knows better.
Exactly.
I have failed in that regard.
Yeah. She could not for the longest while say Aladdin. She would always call it Aladdin.
The Finding Nemo.
Funnily enough, she can now speak properly and gets upset whenever I call it Aladdin.
You should just look at her. It's never going to stop.
Never.
Takes her hand and bear. She takes his ring, takes his babies, takes her minutes, takes her nowhere. Heaven knows she'd have taken anything. Cause
all night
she wants a young American.
Young American,
she wants
a young American.
Into the pitch game.
Yes.
Are you guys ready for the pitch game?
I'm ready.
I should get my phone. So that I can
alright,
the time.
How are we doing this? What
it's,
sort of
it's done.
Intricate
mm-hmm.
System are we using to decide who goes first and who gets pitched to?
I'd like to use this system. During our review, I was the odd man out who decided to like it for the story and not just for the kung fu. So I'm going to go first.
You're going to go first as in pitch? You're going to pitch or be pitched?
I am going to pitch.
All right. And who are you pitching to?
I'll let you guys know as it happens.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Damien.
God damn it.
What am I pitching today?
There's a
pitch. Do I actually
a
have
bunch
a pitch
of in? Hot bangers so far. The only thing that you guys have pitched to me is this awesome Korean movie.
Which you can't watch
that
it.
Nobody on earth has.
Well, have you watched any of our latest things that we've pitched to you?
I'm sorry, after Sparrow and Condor Man, I really didn't think it was really worth listening to any of you idiots.
All right. Here we go. So, Damien, there's this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by a man who has made a lot of movies we love.
Okay.
But
M. Night Shyamalan.
There is no real story
in
this movie. It involves a lot of conversations, and a person is only viewable for two throughout the movie. So there are many people who just keep handing off conversations to one another throughout the film, and it just doesn't stop.
Is that the
I love that
cigarettes
movie, by the way.
Thing?
No, it's not. It's
okay.
Not coffee and cigarettes.
Right.
I love that movie, though. Okay, my turn. Let me just bring up my pitch, my carefully crafted pitch for Damien. Go. Damien.
Mm-hmm.
The movie I'm pitching to you is a road trip movie where we explore...
Your trip.
We explore three somewhat troubled characters in a quasi-dark and quirky story involving chance encounters, religious cults, and Russian rap bands.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one Damon is going to pick.
I think you pick yours.
I don't want to pick anything from him because his track record has been, let's say, abysmal. Well, yours sounds like coffee and cigarettes.
It's not.
No, I can tell
yes,
you.
Yes, you've made that perfectly clear. You're something like that. And so, I kind of want to see something like coffee and cigarettes again. And I know Douglas is fucking with me.
I'm not, though.
So I'll pick Andrew's movie.
There you go. My movie is Richard Linklater's Slacker.
Okay.
Which we watched for the first time this week. And then I realized I had seen it already.
Wait, that's the one with Angelina Jolie?
No, it's not. No.
There's no one famous
that's
in that
Slacker
movie.
As well.
Yeah.
Oh. No. No, that's Hackers. There is actually another movie by the name of Slacker, or Slackers,
mm-hmm.
which actually, I think Jason Segel might be in it, but it's a comedy, and it's bad. Jason Biggs might also be in there. My movie was a movie that I loved to death at one point, have watched since, and kind of realize that it's not as good as I thought it was, but still like it. It's Riz Cutter's A Love Story.
Yeah, I actually have that. You guys had recommended it to me a long time ago, and I didn't watch it.
I like that movie.
Okay. So to Douglas then.
Does that mean I'm being pitched to?
Yes.
Okay.
You want to go first or me?
You can go first.
I can go first.
Mm-hmm.
I need to remind myself for a second because I had it in my head a second ago. Right. Yes.
David just has this big smile. Oh my goodness.
Because he's so happy he gets to participate now.
Because I've won. Like, there's nothing you can pitch to him that will beat my pitch.
Awesome.
It is impossible.
He's laying down.
Awesome.
He's dropping the mic already.
Awesome.
Okay, so there's this movie about this redneck family. Let's say redneck for the sake of argument.
That's racist.
And they have discovered that their estranged father, who left them when they were younger to go and be off with another family, has died. And he ends up starting a feud with the other family that the father made because he goes to his father's funeral and says some nasty words. But truthful words. And yeah. It's about the feud that happens afterwards between these two redneck families.
Okay.
I wonder if Damien's seen this movie. He probably would have.
Alright.
Douglas Rhodes.
Okay.
Yes.
Alright. You're letting it roll. You're letting it. You're
oh, he's pulling it up. I did this the other day.
So easy.
You're like,
okay, who's it directed
right.
by? Who's
no, no.
Starring?
Douglas. You remember our new favorite Christmas movie?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. What are we talking about?
There is a Christmas movie where they ship out Santas at the end.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, all right. You got my attention, sir.
What if I told you there is a new Christmas movie that is as weird, but a lot different? So it's not the same vein, but it is almost as good.
Yep. There we go. So I guess we can start with seeing if Douglas can guess our movies.
There's no
way. There's no way he can guess yours.
Any guesses?
Okay. So I guess that Damien just pitched me Madea Takes Christmas.
Is there a Madea Christmas?
Yes, there is.
There probably is.
It's coming out in like, or it probably has come out. No.
Probably
it,
is.
Yeah, it came out last week.
Okay.
And I think Andrew pitched me Back to the Future. the Marty McFly takes on his family. I have no clue what you guys pitched to me.
Okay.
And why Damien,
mm-hmm.
I want to pick your
mm-hmm.
movie, but
mm-hmm. you feel.
No, it has nothing to do with feel.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the fact that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feel for the story of Andrew's movie,
yes.
and that's a story I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
You, I just have to go based on the fact that
mm-hmm.
me and you like things that are the same,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
mm-hmm.
that's I don't know what
and
to
that
do
is
here.
Why I know
I don't know what to do here
because it is a new Christmas classic, is what it is.
Santa Claus in a box.
Oh no!
Here's what I'm going
oh, no.
to do. I'm going to go with Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And apologize to Dana. Because I'm sure when he tells me the name, I'm going to wish I went.
What's the movie you're pitching?
Right. So there's this new movie called White Reindeer.
I don't know this movie.
It is about a woman who she loves Christmas. But this Christmas, bad shit has happened. Her husband has died.
Is that supposed to be cocaine? That's what
yeah.
I say when I say
yeah, that is what it is. Her husband has died. And upon his death, she finds out that her husband was romantically involved with a stripper. Now, she's white, and the stripper is black. And there is a lot of cocaine. There is a kind of a swingers club somewhere along the line. And it is about family and heart. And it is incredible.
So have you watched this movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's was good? Not part of the
yeah.
Yes,
movie?
Yes,
yeah, you have to have seen the movie or picture.
You said it was a new movie though, so I was
yeah.
like, well,
Douglas,
have you watched it?
Trust me. Like, it is as much about Christmas as Rare Experts is about Christmas. And you just watch at the start of the movie you're like, this is going nowhere. Much like Rare Exports. And then things happen and you go, alright movie, I'm on board. And I'm on board to the end. It's pretty good. There's a lot of cocaine.
Cocaine? Movie I pitched was Jeff Nichols' Shotgun Stories.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I assumed with the way you like Take Shelter, you'd have run up on those
yeah.
really quick.
Yeah, I know it. I know of it. I
mm-hmm.
just haven't seen it.
Shotgun Stories
with Michael Shannon.
Ooh-wee.
I will find him. General Zod. So now I guess you guys have to pitch to me. So,
yeah, would you like to go first?
All right. Andrew Robinson, when we were growing up, bad things happened. especially in the music world, some terrible things happened. I recently got to watch a movie
that is so bad that it is, it is not even so bad, it is, is a, it is in a new category. It is a Room-esque type of nonsense.
I still haven't watched that movie.
Oh Lord. And it stars one person you know and one person no one on earth knows. And that's my pitch.
So your pitch is you just watched a bad movie.
No. You haven't seen The Room either, have you? I thought Andrew had seen The Room. So that is why I thought it would have been a good idea to pitch this movie to. But you haven't seen The Room, so never mind.
Okay.
Ready?
Don't watch this. You have to watch The Room first.
Someone looking to start a new life goes to a town outside the city and tries to create a new life, right? Inevitably, though, things aren't as rosy as this person wants them to be. And, of course, problems present themselves, right? After proving to themselves that running away clearly doesn't solve their problems, right? This, you know, the runaway and problems kind of resurface. Or surface, rather. New problem surface. We really follow this person's story as they deal with the consequences of their choices while still, you know, holding on to that hope for redemption.
I can't believe you haven't seen the movie.
Is this movie Redemption?
That would be awesome. No, it's not. Would you think that this is that movie?
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick Damien's movie because you sound like you don't believe in the movie that you're actually
saying. No. I adore this movie.
He has come up with
a somewhat fictitious way of describing the movie.
No, this is not fictitious. This is just a great way of describing this movie
of
without
disguising
anybody. Yes. Exactly, I'm
disguising
what it is.
What
I'm still going to pick David's movie. David, what movie did you pitch me?
Andrew Robinson, I pitched you From Justin to Kelly.
Oh my goodness!
Andrew, I mean Damien, as in Kelly Clarkson.
I had the pleasure.
Yes,
I had the pleasure of watching this movie recently, and for a second, I thought I was on drugs. Like, the movie...
Damien, I'm sorry for pitching this
No,
I apologize.
No, listen to me. That is why I'm...
From the bottom of my heart.
You haven't seen The Room, so you don't understand. Like, people who've watched The Room, there is a level of bad... Like, before you thought, Biodome is just the worst. It's just poor in every facet, and there's nothing about...
Like, I feel like the story of The Room is
right.
bad enough for
right.
my mind.
So The Room is so awful.
My imagination
right.
can take
that
care of
it.
That
at some point, you just have to... Like, you just have to accept that what is taking place here is something otherworldly. I thought The Room would have been the only movie of its kind. I was so wrong. From Justin to Kelly isn't even a movie. Like, I don't really know how to... Andrew Robinson... It might be the first musical that I've enjoyed. This is how terrible. It is the Andrew Robinson. You can't, like, the movie at every single turn defies both logic and it defies the audience to not get up
and run away
and like kick whatever they're watching. Douglas, I started watching, I'm like, this is impossible. Like, the entire time, my brain just kept going. There's no way what is happening. Like, it must be fatigue and the fact that I've been studying for a long time and that I'm high on cocaine because there's no way what is on this screen is
happening.
Andrew Robinson. Like,
from Justin to
the
Kelly.
The happening is like quality film. Compared to like, it is.
And what was your film, Douglas?
Shit.
Was a movie directed by none other than the Dark Lord himself.
Lars. It was Dogville.
Oh, wow.
From our supreme overlord.
Because we have already tried to get you to watch this movie.
And you refused.
So I had to try and get you to watch it. without actually giving any of the keywords. Mm-hmm. Like Laris. A lady like that goes
no
to
sense.
Town.
Like no sense.
Like Lars and Gontrier.
You know, like, you know, we've already told you that, you know, she gets captive in this town.
Because I would have picked your movie straight off if you had said Dogville. Like, yeah, I want to watch that movie. I just haven't.
Guys, anyone who is listening to this and has access to From Justin to Kelly, listen to me carefully. If you're going to watch it and then complain that it is terrible, then really? You thought a movie with Kelly Clarkson, whatever his Justin face name is going to be good? But if you go in,
I want to leave you right now, just to cut the audio there.
Realizing that, like, I want you to lower your expectations so much and watch that be shattered. Like, there's no way you can't even conceive of how bad this
I want
movie
that
is.
Moment in the opening credits of the Holy Grail where, like, people just take over the show and say, sorry, we sacked all those people, the llamas are, we've only had llamas to finish this off. Because I don't want to hear it about From Just a Ticket.
When I saw it, I went, like, at the very beginning, I'm like, there's no way. It says From Justin to Kelly, I'm like, this is going to be like the worst thing that has ever happened. And I was ill prepared for this. Because holy shit. Oh god, that movie is they're a class all their own. They should hand out awards for movies. No. Razzies are terrible movies.
We were in the year that The Room came out, I'm sure.
No, The Room, like, they're barely movies. That's what I'm trying to explain.
No, I've heard people explain what The Room is to me, and I understand it.
No,
my
you
imagination.
Don't. No, you. That is the thing that you worse, like. That you two is. Are both using the worst movies you have seen in order to judge what I'm saying, but you don't understand.
No, but I know the story of what went into
Andrew
that
Robinson. You don't, like, until you have sat yourself down and watched The Room.
I think we have to have
and
a
From
room
Justin
episode.
To Kelly.
I think we have to have our room episode
for the 2 hours and come out the other side and go, I know, like, it essentially changes your scale from what bad is. Right? Because now you're thinking
you
of bad
think
movies.
That Epic is a good movie.
Like, Andrew Robinson, there isn't a movie that has been made that compared to this isn't a good movie. Like, they don't exist. This is the thing. It is the zero.
I'm an alligator. I'm a mama, papa calling for you.
We've been like Sid and Nancy for months now.
Summer, Sid stabbed Nancy 7 times in the kitchen. I mean, we have some disagreements, but I hardly think I'm Sid Vicious.
No, I'm Sid.
Oh, so I'm Nancy. Space invader. I'll be a rock and roller bitch for you. Keep your mouth shut.
Absolute zero of movie rackets.
So moving on.
Shit.
This week, tying in with the Grandmaster,
oh, yeah,
Douglas has asked us to do our top 5 non-linear anachronistic films.
That's not what he put.
No, it's not.
Top 5 incoherent movies is what he put. And that is my list.
So Douglas, I'm going to ask you to start.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
Okay, great. This movie should probably be like number 1, but I'm
mm-hmm.
taking it away from
you're stealing it.
Mm-hmm. Number 5 on my list is Chris Nolan's great Memento.
Blah.
No, not Bois. Not Bois. Memento. Starring Guy Pearce. and Joey Pants.
This movie is fantastic. It also is backwards. And
backwards and forwards.
Backwards and forwards. And all sorts of sideways and stuff. So yes, this one works with, you know, not being linear, and it is fantastic.
Okay. So my top five is top five incoherent movies. Some of them fall into the new category that you guys came up with. But when you say incoherent, incoherent is a bad word. Means it doesn't make much sense.
Yep.
And so I challenge myself. What are movies that make absolutely no sense, but I still love? And there is a big list.
Yep.
I'm going to start with a favorite of mine. The Matrix. All of them. Now, if you plot on a line the story that they're telling, you'll find yourself in a dark room in the fetal position, rocking back and forth, because they make no sense. Especially the second and third ones. They make, like, they took the nonsense of the first and went, what if we made even less sense? And that is what they strive for. And they hit that mark. It was unbelievable.
Can I pause us for a second? I would like to nominate Joey Pants for, you know, Incoherent Man of the Year. Because so far, he's been in all our movies.
Yep.
Joe Pantoliano.
Matrix makes no sense. But as we talked about earlier in the Grandmaster, the Kung Fu, the living hell out of those movies. And that is what I came for. And this is what I stayed for. And the talking is what I cut out in the day.
I wish I could keep this Joy Pants thing rolling.
But we can't. We had to break it at one point.
I'm going to go with my number five non-linear film, and I'm going to hand it to The Man Who Kings Incoherency. Incoherent, is that a word? Incoherency. I'm going to pretend it's a word right now.
It is tonight.
And it's going to be from the world of David Lynch.
Oh wow, yeah.
And this is actually a film that I actually kind of like, but it's a movie that I like, and at the same time, I don't quite understand everything in it. And it's Lost Highway. If you've never seen this movie, it follows.
It's supposed to be part five of his TV show, right?
No. There's a TV show movie which I've not seen, which I don't want to look at. The movie follows two stories.
Have you ever seen Twin Peaks?
No.
I've watched like a season and a half.
Like when I was going through his movies, I was going to watch that movie until someone told me there were two seasons.
Apparently, I think that that movie has something to do with the TV show.
I think that is a joke that they tell.
It's like this. Apparently, like the
ridiculous
guy or something. I don't know.
It is a joke people make because it is equally as ridiculous as those TV shows. He's a madman.
He's a madman. After going through a full story with Bill Pullman and his woman, there is a scene in which a man changes into another person entirely, and then we go off on a completely other story. The movie is kind of crazy, and I kind of like it for it.
Kind of.
So is this story non-linear?
It is, because it takes you back in time once you go through that first story.
Can I put Time Cop on mine?
Just
only
put all of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Only if I'm allowed to put Back to the Future on mine.
Oh, Back to the Future is quality. Time Cop is not.
To Douglas.
Oh, back to me? Alright, now we're getting to the actual
numerication.
Why can't I think of
it's close enough.
The actual numerated list, where this is actually my number four.
And numbered.
And my number four... actually, I think I like this movie better. I'm going to call an audible, and that audible will be Sin City. Sin City is awesome. Sin City also goes all over the place in terms of timing and different stories.
Mm-hmm.
and
it's just
you,
it's just
and it makes this much sense,
which means you love it
so much. Speaking of movies that don't make sense and I love, thanks heavily to use of kung fu, Kill Bill.
Actually,
I tried making sense of that movie many times.
The movie that I just took out was another one of his.
I tried making sense of that movie several times, and I had to accept that that is not why I watch that movie. I watch it for if anyone else has anything left to say. That's what I watch that movie.
How about the second one? You watch that one at all?
Yeah, and was disappointed with the Superman talking at the end. It is one of the movies that Tarantino niece almost ruined for me.
So moving on to my number four, I'm going to pick a film that we've talked about previously, and it moves literally in backwards from start to finish,
mm-hmm.
and that
Fuck.
Is Gaspar Noé's
How did
Irreversible.
You not think he was going to put that on the list?
I thought you guys had forgotten. That's my number two. God damn it.
It is literally like when you put out that
actually was number one. Ah, fuck.
What
okay.
did you think was going to happen?
We are somehow going to fix this.
Don't.
I mean, guys, it's a crazy movie, but I think I've watched it one more time other than since we talked about it, and I like it even more. I fast forward through the rape scene because I really can't watch it that much. But that's about it.
Wow. So, thanks, Andrew.
Oh, you didn't think... You should have said that first.
I figured people remember Chris Nolan. We don't remember other people. We don't.
I
not
still haven't
podcast.
Finished watching Enter the Void.
Me either. And I really like that movie when I saw it.
Sure, both of you.
So, okay. I'm now bringing back a movie onto
from
my
the
list
dead.
From the dead, and this movie is called Pulp Fiction. And I'm pretty sure that I don't need to explain why this movie goes on this list.
Okay. I'm going to pick a recent movie. It came out this year. It is from one of our favorites. Only God Forgives. Now, that movie is incoherent, makes no sense, not even a little bit, but it's remarkable. Please explain the story of Only God Forgives.
I'm not talking to you.
Okay. Douglas?
Because you didn't like the story of the Grandmaster.
Douglas? Douglas, you've seen Only God Forgives.
No, I haven't watched it.
What in God's name?
I watched like the first 10 minutes and realized this is something I need to watch on Blu-ray, chuck the DVD, and... haven't watched it since.
Oh, you should. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So my number three is a movie which I can never stop talking about, and Douglas will forever hate, and Damon will forever laugh whenever we discuss it, and it is the movie, the Darren Aronofsky classic. It is The Fountain.
Oh.
As we roll through these three stories, intercut, going through time and space. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yes.
I adore
and
that movie
and
so
Robinson
much.
Ruining that movie for me. Forever.
That movie is horrible.
You are so wrong. Hey, are we all going to watch Noah?
I'm going to.
Trailer looks
of course
terrible.
I'm going
looks
to watch
horrible.
It. It looks horrendous.
Trailer looks terrible.
Okay, so Audible has been called.
Mm-hmm.
And at number two, we have the only Sarah Polley movie to ever be good, thanks to one Timothy Olyphant, and that is Go.
Fair enough.
Have you ever watched this movie,
Damon?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's pretty awesome. Andrew? Wow. You guys really need to watch this movie. It's
maybe
a story.
It's a film you should pitch to us.
Clearly it is.
Remember who directed that movie again?
Who directed it? I can't remember. But it's really good. It's a movie.
Doug Liman.
Right, yes. I knew it was somebody I knew. It's four separate stories of the same weekend through four separate eyes, and it's just marvelous.
Okay. Well, it's my turn?
It is your turn.
Alright. Everything on this is just, you know, completely ridiculous nonsense. Which one would I like to stress?
Alright, fine.
Not incoherent enough?
I don't know. No, because all of these are movies that I've talked about today. And it just doesn't feel... I don't have anything on this that is... There's a lot, but there's none that we haven't talked about over and over again. I guess I'll just pick the most ridiculous and my favorites at this point. Number two goes to Airborne.
That doesn't have time traveling, does it?
Yeah, it also doesn't have anything called a story or coherency. So a boy shows up in a town and he's a surfer.
Brings his surfboard. So isn't it like Ohio or something like that?
And then he has to roller skate for popularity down a hill. Yeah, that sounds like something that makes sense. No, it doesn't. Movie's dumb, but talk about it. Andrew Robbins.
My number two is a film which I guess we've talked about a few times. But I'm going to talk about it again mainly because I know Douglas still hasn't watched it.
Good.
And it is the classic film from Akira Kurosawa. And that is Rashomon. Because when you have the same story being told repeatedly with varying details because of who's telling it.
With all lies.
With the truths. The true truths. It's kind of amazing. And I love that movie.
Ooh.
And you just haven't seen it at this point because you refuse, right? You're just not going to watch this because fuck.
Course. Yeah, that's right. Fuck
that's what it sounds like more and more.
My number one pick is, of course, I couldn't keep a Frenchie off of this list. Number one,
Chris Nolan.
I'm still still reigning champion,
mm-hmm.
Michel Gondry with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I love this movie to death. Number one should have gone to somebody else, but there it is. Damien. If a specific movie is not called, I don't know why it wouldn't. I don't know what, like, you must be, like,
what?
Dying if a specific movie is not called.
What?
I don't know.
You mean the Beat Beat Revolution?
I don't talk about that movie anymore. I spent a solid year giving that movie and Andrew props, and I'm not talking about it anymore. No one's
gotten most of Canada to watch it, which makes me happy.
Andrew, if anyone else hasn't seen it, that's fine. I don't know. Alright, let's just Inception.
Nope. That's
Inception.
Not the movie.
Fine. I'll just go with Inception.
That's not the movie.
Next.
My number one is another movie which has been talked about a lot, but once again I'll keep saying it because I know Douglas still hasn't watched it. And it's the Woody Allen classic.
Lies.
Probably my second favorite of his films.
Mm-hmm.
Annie Hall.
Oh, okay.
I've seen Annie Hall.
And you love it, right?
Sure.
I've seen a movie with Woody Allen and Dan Keaton. I don't know if it's Annie Hall.
I adore this movie because, I mean, I think the most interesting thing about it is when you watch it and you realize he could have done this like in a straight line and it probably would have been the most normal thing in the world. But when he cuts it together in this odd fashion, it feels so weirdly enjoyable. To kind of piece things together yourself in your mind, kind of like how you imagine he's remembering these things.
I like him constantly talking to the audience.
I think what you really mean is you don't like.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, that's what I mean.
Does Diane Keaton get high and talk to herself in this movie?
Yes,
I have seen this.
You
movie.
Have seen this movie.
Yes,
technically she does.
She talks to. She literally looks at herself and speaks with herself. Yes, I have. I don't know if I've seen like 100%, but I've probably seen between 50 and 75.
Did you like this movie?
I love old Woody Allen, Andrew. Of course, I like this movie. So, Damien,
mm-hmm.
I am disappointed.
Sure.
How is Melancholia not on this list?
It is on the list.
How did you not call it?
Because I've talked about... That's what I kept saying. I've talked about these movies so many times that I don't feel the need now to come back here and keep talking about these movies.
You kept
look,
off
look,
a movie
look where
by
it was.
The Dark Lord.
Look where it was.
By the Dark Lord.
After top five incoherent movies, where is Melancholia?
The Dark Lord.
Okay.
The Dark Lord.
There's only one movie on my list that I didn't talk about. And it's I'm Not There.
I had a few I didn't talk
the
about.
The Bob Dylan movie.
I would
One was Irreversible, which
yeah.
some asshole stole from me. Another one was...
Because I like it more than
you. And these other two were when I was reaching. I couldn't figure out what is a good movie to put on this list. So one was Ocean's 12. And the other one was 500 Days of Summer. Which, I mean, both of them I like. But
I want both of you guys to watch a room. And then from there, I'd like everyone to have some person. Do not watch them back to back because you will hate movies for an eternity.
Taking drugs in order to watch From Dusk Till Dawn.
You're going to feel like you're off. I don't even recommend you take drugs to watch a movie because you're going to feel like you're on drugs watching that movie.
Anyways, I think that should be it. So thanks so much for listening. As usual, you can hear the podcast over on gmanreviews.com and through iTunes and Stitcher. Go and rate and review the show and let us know. You started laughing while you were talking. Like, there was a joke.
No.
I didn't make a joke.
I didn't.
You didn't say anything.